You know, in Waterworld, they could drink their own urine.
Ew, that's nasty.
Do you think drinking the Waterworld piss in a bucket? It's purified and urine is sterile anyway. Waterworld, you could drink your urine. It's clean and sterile.
Because you drink so much water because the world's made out of water?
They got a machine and I seen it.
Oh, yeah?
Waterworld!
Oh no! I'm listening to episode 66 of the TryGames.net podcast. We're recording on Sunday. What's today's day?
Today is October...
October 14th!
14th.
Welcome to the podcast, and we're going to be drinking some tea, and I have no idea what the fuck that was. Hello.
Hey, Juvon, guess what?
What?
Did you know that 13 days have come and gone since...
13 days have come and gone!
Since the 1st of October.
Since the 1st of October!
Well, that was interesting.
Very.
What is the significance of that?
It has absolutely none.
That's awesome. Hello, Ethan. Oh, wait, you're not here. Hello, Tony. Oh, wait, you're not here.
No.
They're having a butt show in each respective room of theirs in their house.
That's
and
very,
they are
very
having fun with themselves. So
hetero.
Yeah, so they can have that. We will actually do important things and talk about video games.
Right. No shows here.
So, really quickly, because we got a lot of shit to go through, what have you... no gimmick this week. What have you been playing?
I have been playing Metroid Prime 3. I am at the first major boss after the intro. I have to go there, and then after I go there, I'm going to kick its ass. Take its name. Put it on my little pad. For future reference, maybe I'll call it and take it out on a date. And then I played some Oblivion. I bought that on Friday. Played Guitar Hero,
Rocksteady.
Yeah, picked up a lot of bones and a lot of weapons, and then became
over-encumbered with boners.
And yeah, played Guitar Hero, Rocksteady for the league. Which I have lost already. And I don't even know why I tried, but I just said, okay, I'm drunk. I'm just going to do like one take and take whatever score I get.
Oh,
so
man.
I did that. Of course, Mr. Zaps, who has already gained victory because he has 100% in full combo, like everything.
Zaps, who, by the way, is our contributor, Ben Lee. If you don't know him, go to the site, go to the About page, click on Ben Lee, look at his contributions, and then wonder how he has the time to full combo every single song in Guitar Hero, including
right.
the ones that aren't out yet.
Right, and lay down your sword for the Zaps rock and roll. Black metal. Let's see, what else did I play? I played Guitar Hero 2, of course, because spent like the entire night Friday trying to beat Jordan. You did it once, and I did it no times. Last night I was Ooh. Playing after not being satisfied with my scores and stuff, and I was very upset.
Yes.
I did Play With Me, and I actually beat it.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Nice.
It was
what
good.
Was the score?
Like 150 or something.
That's
like
a good score. That's a pretty good score.
Yeah, but it's still lower than one you got.
What? So,
what else did I play? I think I played some Halo. I'm not even sure if I played this week. I played Burnout Revenge a little bit here and there, slowly progressing through that. And I played some Warcraft. I ran my guys through Scarlet Monastery and Razorfen Downs. If you WoW players are listening, yeah, we rerolled again. I just moved the character who's level 60, gained one level in like a month because I have to work so much. Everybody else is just leveling new characters, so I'm helping them out whenever. So what you playing, Mr. Juggs?
Nothing. Actually, this week I had one day of Prince of Persia Warrior Within, and like I backtracked all the way into the wrong area.
Oops.
And I basically wasted half an hour, and that's why I don't like backtracking in this game. And then I just was sick of his bad attitude and sick of the backtracking, so I just turned it off.
You bitch! You bitch! Is that the best you can do?
So I just turned that off. And I literally have not been playing anything until Friday. I was just watching TV. Friday, of course, when I came over, we were, like you said, mashing away at Guitar Hero 2. I beat Jordan at this guy's place, Mr. Alfred's place. So now you have a nice score on your set list that you can say that you beat.
Not really.
It's on a quick play, but it should be on the high score list.
It is, under your name.
Oh, that's right. I think it was
refuse to take credit.
It was a measly 3-star, like 170k performance. It was pretty bad. 79%. The first time I beat it, I got 81% with a 212k score. So that was, and everybody commented on my blog that that's what they seem to get every time they beat it the first time. It's always 81%, which is really weird. But that's really all I have been playing. I haven't played shit otherwise. It's been a pretty unproductive week.
Yeah. In terms of games.
Yeah. And I got to work today, so I am not going to play anything else. Yeah. So that was short and pathetic.
I had to wash my hair today, so I couldn't play anything this morning.
Wash the hair!
Yeah.
15 days. Okay, let's move on.
All right.
We've got a shit ton of news as usual, and only two people to go through it, so maybe it won't take that long. First thing we will do is Manhunt 2 rejected! In the United Kingdom, Rockstars appeals second Manhunt 2 rejection.
Yes!
Yes, I mean, and I think no. I'll bite somebody. No!
In their back!
And Michael Jordan! Blah, 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 toupee. Okay, so Manhunt 2 got an M rating here, as we all know, because they made some edits into the game, and you know, you still can't see all the gory deaths and all that shit. It's all blurred out.
Mm-hmm.
But the Brits don't care.
Yeah, they're like, fuck that.
The new version was also refused a rating, says Emma Boyce from a GameSpot UK. The company. As for why the edits weren't to the BBFC's liking, the BBFC stands for British Board of Film Classification.
No, it doesn't. The F stands for fuck that.
Fuck that! The board stated that reduction in visual detail of some of the execution skills was still not enough to bring the title in line with an 18 rating. I wonder if they show Saw there. The director of the BBFC, David Cook, also said that the organization has suggested further changes to the game be made, although some requests were ignored. Rockstar responded with a statement shortly after the announcement stating that it would be also appealing this decision and that the extra changes it was requested to make were unacceptable. The statement is as follows. We are continuing to appeal the BBFC's decision to deny the edited version of Manhunt 2 an 18 certificate and thereby ban its release in the United Kingdom. Rockstar slammed what it painted as BBFC hypocrisy regarding video games and movies, focusing on the argument that many consider the game to be no worse than the recently 18-rated torture movies, including Hostel and Saw 3. I guess
that's
right.
So Saw 3 did come out in UK.
That's gay.
Very gay.
I think we've discussed this enough. Al actually found this news piece. We just wanted to bring it up again to show how ridiculous this all is.
Yeah.
Next up, Sony confirms a 40-gigabyte PlayStation 3, but in Europe. Sony Computer 10 Entertainment Europe has confirmed the recent rumors of a less expensive 40-gigabyte model of the PlayStation 3 console. This comes from Extreme Tech, which is part of Ziff Davis, which also has 1UP.com. European territories will get it on the 10th of October at a price of €399. There has been no official word yet about a North American or Japanese release. Know that the reduction in price comes with more than just a smaller hard drive. It has built-in Wi-Fi, HDMI output, and a Blu-ray player. However, the new 40-gigabyte units have no memory card reader. No USB ports. I'm sorry. Only 2 USB ports instead of 4. And this next part we should just quote from the press release so there's no ambiguity. Quote, the new model is no longer backwards compatible with PlayStation 2 titles, reflecting both the reduced emphasis placed on this feature amongst later purchasers of PS3, as well as the availability of a more extensive lineup for PS3 exclusive titles. So, just to clarify something, when they say no memory card reader, there was never a PlayStation 2 memory card reader on the PS3. They are talking about flash memory like Sony Memory Stick Pro.
Memory Stick Pro, right.
Yeah.
Combat so, flash or shit.
So it's not even software backwards compatibility. It's no backwards compatibility for these ones.
So, suck.
I guess if you want to keep PS2s, this is a good buy. I mean, if you're going to keep them and you don't mind shoveling them out, there's no reason to care about this. Personally, I want to be able to upscale my PS2 games properly onto a big TV, so it does matter for me, and that's why I got my shitty one that has a 20-gig hard drive and no wireless. Anyway.
So wait, hold on. Well, upscale is different than just having it in ProScan, so never mind.
Yes, very different. Actually, gotcha. Loads different, actually. The difference is stunning.
Have you played Shadow of Colossus on your PS3? Upscaled?
Not yet.
You gotta try that.
Yeah, it'll still look like a slideshow, but...
Of course, but it'll be a beautiful slideshow.
Nintendo will offer demos of Wii titles for download in a bid to challenge Microsoft's Xbox Live and Sony's PlayStation Store offerings. It's about time. This is from NextGen.biz by Tom Ivan. According to IGN, Nintendo is readying a Wii service similar to the DS Station retail service, in which will enable users to download demos from home. The software will be released at low prices. What?
What? Wait, we're not supposed to be paying for demos.
I think they're saying that the service by which we download these games will cost something, which is also bullshit.
Yeah, because, well,
it's bullshit. Well,
wait,
wait, face.
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, the only reason I'm saying wait is because you got Xbox Live, which you do pay $50 a year for,
yeah, but you don't need to pay.
PlayStation Network, you don't pay for.
You don't need to pay to download demos on Xbox Live.
Oh, not even if you had silver, you could still download demos?
Your silver service, you should be able to download stuff. Yeah.
Oh, right, because gold is really just to play games.
Yep.
Oh, fantastic. So then, yeah, this is bullshit.
Yeah, maybe we're not clear on this, so maybe we might be jumping to some conclusion. So hopefully this is not the case.
Yeah.
But regardless, it's about time that Nintendo actually decided to, you know, actually take video games, period, seriously! And go online. But this next big news topic we'll probably spend a whole day on. EA Sports. No. EA Horrors acquires BioWare and Pandemic. Mm. BioWare, for anyone who doesn't know, and if you don't know, then you've been living under 7 rocks, 5 plates of grass, and then 3, like, bugs.
Sounds like you're dead.
And you're dead. BioWare does the Knights of the Old Republic Star Wars games.
Which everyone went crazy about.
Yeah, and they also did the Jade Empire game, and they also are doing Mass Effect. And I believe they also did... were they the ones who did Baldur's Gate, or is that just Black Isle? I think they were Baldur's
Gate.
That's
Black Isle, because they were Interplay. BioWare might have taken over, but I doubt it was under
the Interplay umbrella, though, too.
Yeah, but I don't believe BioWare did Dark Alliance. I'm not sure.
Dark Alliance is a console version?
Yeah, Dark Alliance 1
and 2. Yeah, that was Snowblind.
That was Snowblind.
Yeah, I think Snowblind did one of the ports.
Yeah, I think they did two.
Here we go. BioWare's... what's it called? BioWare's...
Repertoire.
Shattered Steel for PC. Baldur's Gate and Baldur's Gate Tales of the Sword Coast for PC.
Right.
MDK 2. I didn't know that. Baldur's Gate 2, Shadow of Amun, Baldur's Gate 2 expansion, the Throne of Baal. The first Neverwinter Nights. Mm-hmm. And the 3 expansion packs.
Mm-hmm.
Knights of the Old Republic, Jade Empire, Dragon Age, which is still in development, Mass Effect, and they are coming out with the Sonic RPG.
What? Really?
Yeah. They're the ones who are doing it.
I didn't know there was a Sonic RPG coming out.
Yeah. Unfortunately, or fortunately, if they treat it like Mario RPG, which I bet you they won't because it's Sega. Anyway, Pandemic is responsible for Mercenaries, Mercenaries 2, and Full Spectrum Warrior. So both studios are good studios, and then Bungie. What does Bungie have to do this summer? I'm reading into the article. but Electronic Arts, quote, has announced an agreement, and this is according to Patrick Klepek at 1UP.com. Has announced an agreement with investment firm Elevation Partners to acquire VG Holdings Corp, the parent company of the two studios, that being Pandemic and BioWare. Transition will not be finished until January of 2008, but obviously the gears are already in motion to fold the companies into EA Games.
The gears of war.
Both Pandemic and BioWare made positive statements about the change in the press release. Pandemic Studios remains focused on attracting the best talent and creating blockbuster action games, said Josh Resnick, president and co-founder of Pandemic. As a worldwide publishing leader, EA represents the ideal partner to bring our titles to market as global entertainment events.
EA also represents cha-ching!
Cha-ching! We are truly excited by John Riccitiello's new vision for EA, says Ray Musica, co-founder and CEO of BioWare Corp. This vision is consistent with BioWare's focus on crafting the highest quality story-driven games in the world.
And making a lot of money.
It will enable us to further the careers of the passionate, creative, and hard-working teams at BioWare Edmonton and BioWare Austin. There's lots of money involved here. EA will be picking up BioWare and Pandemic from VG Holding Corp by handing over up to $620 million in cash and an additional $155 million in equity to certain employees of VG Holding Corp.
Ooh, certain parachutes.
Certain employees, in quotes. EA also agreed to lend up to $35 million as the acquisition is closed out. What does this mean for such Xbox 360 coups as Mass Effect? Is BioWare's sci-fi universe about to go multi-platform in the sequel? Looking into it. Stay tuned, and there is a news story also from 1UP that comes out later near the end of our news bit. So let's move on, or let's discuss this a little first. Thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Let's just hope that BioWare remains autonomous to a point where they're not being puppeteered by EA.
Right.
Into making, like, shit. I mean, I don't think...
Or Mass Effect 2007. Mass Effect 2008!
Yeah, if Mass Effect becomes a franchise, it's gonna suck. Because I think BioWare is good at making games for specific environments and not, you know, making franchises out of them. Like, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. Imagine if they came up with a new Knights of the Old Republic every year.
Right.
You know? It's just not... I like the same type of game in different atmospheres and things like that. But just trying to make a franchise out of a specific game design is just not appealing to me
at the moment. I think that as a studio, BioWare is one of those studios that are like, it'll be done when it's done. And I sense that if, you know, the instant something happens that Greg and Ray, the guys who are the CEOs of that company, if they see something bad happening, they will probably bolt and try to take a lot of the people with them. And I think EA probably knows that. So they really just want to get their money and get their games. They're probably not going to sit there and micromanage them to the point of, you know, destruction. Hopefully because EA has a whole shit ton of resources, because they are EA, BioWare can benefit from those resources and benefit from the marketing.
Right, and get better paid employees and stuff like that. People who want to churn out better work, maybe.
Right.
And hopefully they won't overwork their employees.
Yeah.
Due to, you know, certain rumors that have gone about with EA.
Yeah. I think it's important to remember that I think BioWare as a company will remain BioWare the company. They won't be... I don't think they will be swallowed into the EA family as an EA studio in terms of EA is the one who manages their day-to-day activities. Greg and Ray are still the CEOs and whatever else is of the company. They still manage their day-to-day activities. It's just that their monies are going to be contributing to EA's big pot of gold. Mm-hmm. So it's more of an investment, I think, on EA's part. And as for Pandemic, I'm not familiar with the company itself, but hopefully the same thing will apply. Let's look at what else that Pandemic did. While I'm looking, what were you saying?
Oh, I was saying let's hope so. I don't want BioWare to become like, you know, EA RPG Central.
Right. Okay, here we go.
EA Oklahoma.
EA Canada 3. Pandemic has made Battlezone 2, Combat Commander, Dark Reign 2, Triple Play 2002, but Army Men RTS... Star Wars The Clone Wars. Oops. But then it's Full Spectrum Warrior, which is good. Star Wars Battlefront, which I haven't played. I heard, like, it was good. Like a Battlefield version of Star Wars. Battlefront 2, Mercenaries, Destroy All Humans 2, Full Spectrum Warrior The Ten Hammers, and Mercenaries 2, which is coming out soon. So they have a pretty decent stable of games as well. Bono must be happy walking away with all that money. next one. If you're fat, you'll cry at this news. Wii Balance Board has 300-pound limit.
In Japan. Yeah, because you know they're probably going to do some marketing and figure that a lot of their user base is probably big fat asses, and they're going to like slightly re...
It's pronounced fat ass.
Fat asses. And they're going to redesign slightly the balance board so that it accommodates up to 500 pounds. We'll see.
Given the impressiveness of the American waistline, Nintendo would do well to beef up the specs a bit while the rest of us beef down. So it's basically saying exactly what you said. But at the same time, what a slap in the face that would be. Here's your cinder block board, America, complete with cup holder. I have no idea.
You don't understand what that means?
I just read it because I didn't really read into it. I just read it.
Oh, okay. Well, that was from Kotaku just to put the source on it. The cup holder reference is that, you know how people have cars and they got to have a cup holder?
Yeah.
Because they're so lazy that they have to drink inside their car. So it's just saying Americans are so lazy that they have to have a cup holder with their Wii balance board because they're not really going to.
Oh, I thought you were just. Oh, that, yeah, I mean, I get that. I thought you were laughing at the cinder block board part. I was like,
Oh, no, no. The cinder block board can support 500 pounds.
this is true. Let's see. Here is something that is kind of funny to me, and this is Ubisoft we're talking about. Nintendo's holiday release list includes a DS version of Assassin's Creed.
That comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, if it's going to be like Ninja Gaiden, awesome. If it's going to be like other ports of high-profile titles to the DS, no, stop it right now.
Especially since we know absolutely nothing about it.
Yeah, if anybody doesn't understand why this is potentially the worst idea in the universe, go play King Kong for DS, which was by Ubisoft. Also, go play Burnout Legends for DS, which was by EA, published by EA, and compare it to the PSP version. What other bullshit things have come to the DS?
I don't even know. For big franchises. Probably made a... I don't know if they made a crappy X-Men game.
I think they were all crappy, though, all versions
of that. Okay, so you're comparing a shitty DS to a good other port.
Yeah. Prince of Persia hasn't been out on DS. They did a 2D version on GBA, which was okay. Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! Splinter Cell! Pandora Tomorrow, or is it Chaos 3? Splinter Cell Chaos 3. Play that on the DS. See how you like that one. Oh, moving on to things that make us happy in terms of what the game is, but makes Al sad in terms of the release date. Why don't you shed a tear over this one?
So Super Smash Bros. Baby! Brawl.
Sorry, go ahead.
Super Smash Bros. Brawl has Sonic. Yay! Super Smash Bros. Brawl will have co-op online. For the single player.
Yay! Right,
for the adventure mode. Yay! Smash Brothers will have a somewhat robust online multiplayer versus mode.
Somewhat? What's the somewhat?
The details haven't been fully finalized. Oh, okay. That's why.
12 players, all right.
No, it's 4.
Oh, wait. 12 players is something else. Sorry.
Yeah. And Super Smash Brothers Brawl is not coming out in December. It seems
when
like
is
they,
it coming out?
Have delayed it to February 10th, 2008.
So express your sadness right now with a long, lingering no.
No, my holiday. But you know what? I'm not so sad anymore. You know why? Because I have
you're
a 360
a man.
Now. I'm a man, yeah. And then I also have a 360. Oh. And I also have...
Oblivion.
Yeah, I would be.
Which is 370,000 hours of play.
Yeah, if I just had like Oblivion and a 360 and a Mad Time, I'd probably be good till February. But I have more than that. I have Metroid. I have Mass Effect coming. I have Guitar Hero 3 coming. I have Rock Band coming. There's Mario Galaxy, which I'm probably not going to play. There's Zelda, which I still haven't played. There's Phantom Hourglass, which I will probably finish in 2 weeks. Then there's all sorts of other stuff that will keep me till February. Please, delay, so that I don't have to spend my money, and I can save it, and I'll finish out the games. Thank you. I'm not crying anymore.
That's kind of what I said when GTA 4 delayed. Everyone was like, ah! I'm like, well, Halo 3 is coming out. Won't you want to be spending your time with that?
Yeah.
Delay it. I don't give a shit. Delay everything for a couple of months. I have a backlog.
Make it better.
I have a backlog to attend to. Yeah, make it better, too. Here's one from a Wii balance board candidate. Really. So, someone says PS3 is a waste of everyone's time, and it's someone who's big in the industry.
And someone who's big around the area.
Valve's Gabe Newell says in an interview on the Edge magazine's blog, and this is from our favorite Susan Arendt on Game Life. I think the PS3 is a waste of everybody's time. investing in the cell, investing in the SPE, which is, I believe, specialized processing. I forgot what the E stands for. Entity. Mm-hmm. Energon. No.
Energon cubes.
Investing in the cell, investing in the SPE gives you no long-term benefits. There's nothing that you're going to apply to anything else. You're not going to gain anything except a hatred of the architecture they've created. I don't think they're going to make money off their box. I don't think it's a good solution.
Hmm. And then, that's a very technical phrase right there.
And then Arendt says, just the same, Newell is confident that PS3 owners will have a good experience with the Orange Box. Newell praised EA for putting a lot of people with the PS3 experience on the project. Ah, I see. But pointed out, it's harder to get the same standard as 360 and PC versions. Mm. This has been said over and over again, like, oh, Sony's hard to develop for, blah, 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 all that shit. I guess it's a truth, you know, that it's hard to develop for. I don't know because I'm not a developer, but I would assume it is.
Oh, I would assume it is.
All the articles that I've read say that it is, but I don't. Is it really useless? Is it? I mean, I don't know.
I think it's comparatively speaking, because of the amount of effort put in compared to the amount of reward.
That's true, but I mean, go ahead.
I think that if like these developers are putting a shitload of effort and the game comes out shitty. Then it's kind of useless there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if they put in a whole bunch of effort and they actually make a game that's worth its salt, I think, given the user base of the PS3, it's still probably not going to be that fruitful because of all the efforts you're putting and all the money you're throwing at it to pay the developers to actually be able to negotiate all the, like, the cell processor and whatever memory architectures and transactions and the bus and all that other shit. Which, apparently, according to some developers, make it more difficult to develop for than the 360 and the Wii.
Right.
Then you have, like, a user base which is smaller than the 360 and in the Wii. So it's like, well, if we make a game for all three of these platforms, which one's going to give us the lowest returns? Just from a numbers point of view, it's probably going to be PS3.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, on the money thing, there's such a huge Sony, rabid Sony fanboy fan base that, like, at some point, it will, like, it's Sony. And I think that even though the arrogance will probably bite it in the ass, like, an oh, we're Sony, there's still a lot of people out there who believe in the product. And they're just waiting for that. They're just waiting for their $399 version, and they'll snap it up.
I'm sure. Once a really affordable version of the PS3 comes out, it's probably going to blow up.
Yeah. The other thing is just, you know, from a development standpoint, I mean, it sounds like he's talking more about because of the fact that he has to make three ports, that like he can't reuse the same technology in the other ports with this one, because
true.
You know Windows gaming, Windows programming, and Xbox 360 programming is supposedly very, very similar.
It's hand in hand, X and A.
Yeah, with the PS3, it's not the case. But it's like, well, you see developers making games with the PS3 in mind. Like people have been saying that Burnout Paradise for PS3 just looks in. Well, I don't know if it runs better, but it looks slightly better somehow. And it may not necessarily better, but different, but it just looks like it's been made with the PS3 in mind. Mm-hmm. And then when you get things like Heavenly Sword and then things like Motorstorm, which, you know, Motorstorm isn't perfect looking, but it does look really, really good. You know, it's not useless. I mean, you just have to think in a mindset where I'm a studio that's going to develop for the PS3. You know, let's say I'm Insomniac. I'm going to develop for PS3. So when he comes out here and says it's fucking useless, he's been riding against the PS3 since day one, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you remember, but like one of the first.
I think I remember.
Yeah, one of the first quotes out of his mouth is like, you know, they should just scrap it and start over from scratch. I was like, okay, but let's get off of that and move on to this. Not necessarily video game related, but interesting. HD DVD is beating up Blu-ray, but. But, what exactly does that mean?
Hmm.
Toshiba reports that HD DVD player sales have pulled ahead of Blu-ray as of mid-September. I'm going to scan the article for any mention of actual movie sales. Scan, 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 scan. Oh.
Scan complete.
Ah, here we go. Year-to-date figures show HD DVD sales comprising 53% of sales, with Blu-ray trailing at 44%. Ah!
Very close.
Wait, but no, wait. This is still talking about hardware. Boo, they're not talking about the movies here. But, you know, I don't know if we talked about this, but I think couple of months earlier, or maybe a couple of weeks earlier, some studios announced that they would exclusively be providing movies to the HD format, where they were previously dual format, I think. Now they're like just going to... And it says here, Heroes Season 1 and Transformers are going to be exclusive to HD DVD.
Wow.
Not that I care about Transformers or Heroes, but...
But a lot of people do.
Yeah. That's kind of fucked up. Mm-hmm. I just want this stupid thing to end. They both suck. Just go to DVD. Move on.
Upscale DVD.
Yeah.
UDVD.
UDVD.
UDVD. Soft.
And here's something that we knew. Perrin Kaplan is departing from Nintendo. And that's because she wants to not move to what's it called? In an interview with Chris Kohler on Game Life, she basically said also, like, I want to try new things, which doesn't necessarily mean that she'll be in the industry anymore. She doesn't know yet, blah, blah, blah.
She wants to tell Miss Chu's for another company.
Yeah, she's going to have to dodge questions somewhere else and flirt with Matt Asmussina somehow else. Mm-hmm. Let's see. And then there's something else in this GameSpot article. This is by Tor Thorsen, the voice of Nord from GameSpot. Reggie was branded by Brand Magazine as the top marketer. As top marketer, which is not hard to see. I mean, look at what he freaking did.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, yes, BioShock is still not an online multiplayer FPS. I just have to keep on drilling that into his head. Oh, they're the same thing. What's different? What's new? Tell me what's new. But more on the Karen Perrin Kaplan thing. She talks a little bit about WiiWare with Chris Kohler of Game Life. She says that it will launch in Japan in March. Don't know about the U.S., but WiiWare will launch in Japan in March. And I think there's a Square Enix game, which is an extension of the Crystal Chronicles game that's coming to the Wii. It's a side story or whatever that's going to be exclusively on the WiiWare service. It says, many of the games that have been announced in Japan for the download service are global, but Nintendo is also encouraging American developers to create games all the way from garage programmers to EA, which is what Kaplan says. Let's see if in the interview says anything. Blah 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 blah.
Probably not.
No, I think there's something. Okay. So, Chris says, right, it's so far as the WiiWare channel and things like that, I think people are expecting Nintendo of America to come out today and say, yes, Japan announced this, and we're going to have this as well. Are we going to look out for WiiWare in Japan? It's rolling out in March. Is that going to happen for us? She says, I think we'll be looking at a somewhat similar time frame, but we haven't announced anything yet. It's a program that's beginning. It's very robust. The interest level is extremely high, and it's exciting. Some of blah, 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 corporate speak.
Mm-hmm.
Are any of the ones announced in Japan, which means games, coming to the U.S., and she can't say.
Of course.
A lot of them are global. One of the issues I can see is that a lot of content is still coming from Japan, and as far as download services, are you going out and is Nintendo of America getting a little more leeway in terms of finding developers? And she says, I'm not sure your perception is being built on, because we have a team that works very... We have a team that works on that every day. God! I can't read today.
That's a tough
sentence. Whether it's virtual console games, where they work back and forth with a lot of licensees and partners. Sega's a great example, and I really Sega's headquarters are in Japan, but we work with them a lot here. Fun fact, Sega was actually an American game company at first. Sega stands for Service and Games. And I think they were responsible for like importing pinball machines to Japan to like station troops there, and that's how they got their start, something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she just keeps on corporate speak. Nothing useful here. Move on!
Yeah.
Report, and this is one you found. Report, Japanese publishers doubt Wii longevity.
Yeah. It's kind of weird that Japanese publishers doubt Wii longevity, according to the Nikkei Business Daily analysis.
Nikkei!
Brought to us by GameSpot. They find that software houses in the land of the rising sun think Nintendo's console is a fad, and uncertain on how to tap into the expanded market by Tom Agrino.
Fanboy.
So, let's see. Nintendo stock's going up, of course, because the Wii is selling like crazy. And it's going to continue into the holiday season. And people are apparently not going to be able to have Wiis this Christmas. Still. Crazy. So, now there's a report from Japan's Nikkei Business Daily registration required to view the site.
Aww.
Yeah. In which several Japanese software publishers expressed both uncertainty as to how to best capitalize on the expanded market and concern over the longevity of Nintendo's console. Which I would probably say, provided that Nintendo keeps bringing out something cool once a year, is probably going to have very good longevity.
Carnival games!
No, that's not a Nintendo game. According to the report, despite the Japanese gaming software industry... Shut up.
Your face.
Your face.
Boom.
Despite the Japanese gaming software industry sales spiking by 30% in 2006, nearly 90% of the growth in copies sold was attributable to Nintendo's in-house games. Of course. This means sales of other software makers were practically unchanged from last year's levels. Elementary school children have traditionally been the main buyers of Nintendo game systems. Where they get the money, I don't know. So says report.
What?
Yes, elementary school children. Kids between 6 and 10.
And they say buying crack cocaine!
Yeah, it's true. And, see, this caused many publishers to miscalculate demand in developing games for the Wii. With more than 70% of Nintendo Wii owners aged over 20, and 51% female, traditionally niche games have become become surprisingly popular. Okay. The report specifically calls out Mario Party 8, go ahead and barf, which sold more than 830,000 units in 2006.
And I think even more in 2007 because of the sales in the U.S.
Right.
I don't want to know. Ugh.
Ranking at third in this year's overall sales charts. In Japan. The report cites an executive at a leading software house saying, "I never imagined our titles could be outsold by a party game."
So let's cut that off here and investigate. Do they really think it's a fad, or are they just jealous that Nintendo's selling everything?
They're jealous that Nintendo's selling more.
And so then they're saying, "Oh, we gotta say something. It's a fad."
Yeah.
No.
They're like, "We can't get on this machine, so it's gonna go away because we're that special."
I mean, right. They're the ones. Honestly, they're the ones who are responsible for making it not a fad, to me.
Right.
Because if Nintendo's going to keep on coming up with Wii Play, which is shit, you know, then it's on them, and then I don't know. I've always been of the belief that if you make a good third-party game, if it's worth your salt and you market it right, it'll sell on a Nintendo system. If it doesn't sell, it's your own fault.
Well, right.
No, okay. It's somewhat your fault, and it's somewhat the buying public's fault that... they just go for Nintendo games, and then they complain that they get no third-party games. So, you know what, Nintendo fanboys? Buy third-party shit.
Right.
Not literally shit, but, you know. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, the ones who are complaining that we don't get any third-party games also don't buy them, so stop being babies about it, and right. Whatever. Shall we move off?
Oh, well, they have this really funny quote here at the end. It says, "We is the next Taibo."
Billy Blanks.
Yeah, you know, Ethan has a Billy Blanks boot camp at his
Billy
house.
Billy Blanks boot camp.
We gotta give him some more hell about
Ethan,
that.
The nose boy. That's his. Don't let him tell you otherwise. Mm-hmm. And then Michael Pachter says, "Guitar Hero 3 is the Wii's real killer app, especially given that Smash Brothers Brawl is going to be delayed."
Yeah.
Okay. Here's my problem with the statement. I think I agree with his main point in that it's going to be a huge title for the system. Is it going to be the title that necessarily is the one that everyone thinks will sell Wii's?
I don't know.
Because as far as I know, Killer App refers to a title that or an application, not necessarily title, that makes a certain platform mandatory, and not mandatory for like literally mandatory, but like you gotta have it.
Right. You gotta have it for the platform.
Yeah. Excel made Windows like a must have. Excel was Windows' killer app. So it's because Excel wasn't anywhere else. Guitar Hero 3 is on every single system this year. And that's why I have a problem with how he's using this terminology. If it's a killer app, it's the only system that it's going to be available on. You can get it for PS2, and PS2 is cheaper than a Wii.
That's right.
So I don't know where he's
going to
get
it. And you could already have the guitar for PS2, too.
Yeah. So this is a messed up terminology. This is poor, actually. And as someone who's an analyst, I would think that he'd have better wording. Oh, just a note that it's starting to piss me off. everybody likes to make fun of analysts. Everybody says, oh, yeah, they're all stupid. Like, I've had my fair share of, like, you know, cynicism against them. That's because sometimes they don't really, like in this case, they don't really do their work properly. But they're not stupid.
Right.
Analysts go to fucking college to study this type of shit. They study finances. They study investing. They study marketing. They study all this type of stuff that makes a business go. And then they get hired out by a firm that, like, looks at their GPA and says, you're not stupid, so we'll hire you.
Right.
It's not like they're guys with thumbs up their asses going, we think that this system will sell the most because it's made by Sony and we know the market, but we really don't. I mean, okay, some analysts don't necessarily know video games, but a lot of analysts for a lot of industries, like, go by the numbers and go by the trends that are, you know, prevalent in the industry. They don't go by the fact that, hey, Halo 3 is an awesome game, or Psychonauts is an awesome game. I mean, think about this. Everybody who's played Psychonauts says, oh, it's a good game, right? And you'd think that they could, I could be an analyst. Psychonauts is a great game. Why don't, you know, it should sell a lot. It doesn't sell a lot.
Nope, because of numbers.
You can't, like, I don't know. Anyway, so analysts aren't always right. They can be stupid sometimes, but they're smarter than you are, so stop complaining.
That's right.
Okay, that was dumb. I'll shut up about that. And here we go to that one-up article we were talking about before, the future of Mass Effect, now that BioWare belongs to EA. Where? Patrick Klepek, again from 1UP.com, says... Following yesterday's announcement, BioWare and Pandemic's blah, 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 blah. Pandemic's upcoming blah, 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 blah. Whereas BioWare's next big thing, Mass Effect, is an ambitious start to a planned sci-fi RPG trilogy being published by Microsoft. Of course, if Microsoft and BioWare plotted a trilogy from the start, Microsoft would have been smart enough to broker an exclusivity deal for all three games, right?
Right.
It's not that simple. BioWare and, in effect, EA owns the Mass Effect IP, not Microsoft. So BioWare owns this IP. They're the ones who are in control of it. The situation is most comparable to Gears of War, where Epic Games actually owns the Gears of War IP, but Microsoft has publishing exclusivity for several games in the series.
Mm-hmm.
So this could apply to BioWare too. After that, a new contract would understandably have to be negotiated, or feasibly, Gears of War 3 could end up on PS3. So both BioWare and Microsoft have been hazy about what happens after Mass Effect is released on November 20th.
Woot.
Woot.
Sorry.
Since neither BioWare nor Microsoft have made any announcements about sequels or publishing deals, we aren't ready to say anything more about the future of the franchise. Mm-hmm. But you can be sure we'll be discussing a lot of things with BioWare and EA in the weeks to come. For now, any further news will have to come from EA or BioWare, and this is Microsoft's statement. So, in the vein of, where's Ninja Gaiden 2 going to end up? And what happens to Gears of War 2? Is that possibly coming to PS3? There's your answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's all dependent on who owns the IP and what kind of contract was negotiated. And then, this is not final, the second to last. Assassin's Creed having a few problems on the DS version. Just kidding, no. This is from Luke Blunk over at Kotaku. Mm-hmm. Assassin's Creed is meant to be out in November, supposedly. Our breath is bated, though, after seeing these comments from Ubisoft's Patrice Desilets. Did I pronounce that right? You know your French.
Yeah, I do, but I don't know what the guy's name looks like because I can't open the page.
Your face can't open your
you
face.
You fail.
Fail.
Game over.
Right now we have a big challenge on the 360 to make it fit on a DVD.
Wow.
To put five languages, to put all the data on 8 gigs.
Désilé.
Well, that's because it's in Europe and they have to put 5 languages. It probably won't have any problems coming to the U.S. Okay, so that's problem number one. That's the 360's DVD. Problem number two concerns the PS3. On the Blu-ray side, we're really good, but then the memory is quite different. How we handle memory is really different between the two machines, and we're struggling right now on the PS3.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, fanboys start to debate. Our problem's less severe than yours. No, our problem's less severe than yours. We don't need language. Oh, yeah, well, our machine can stream fastest, so our memory's not a problem. Panty raid, blah, 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 furries.
Pokemons?
Next piece of news. The Microsoft Customer Service Horror Show. I thought they were doing well at first, and I guess now that the warranty's out, they kind of went limp from erection. So, Flynn DeMarco from Kotaku tells the tale of this poor soul. I'm going to read off a list of of this guy's misery. Number of Xbox 360s that have died on me, 3. Number of lights that I've encountered, 9 flashing red ones. So 3 times 3 is 9. Very good. Mm-hmm. Numbers of calls to 1-800 for my Xbox since March, 22. Mm. Number of callbacks promised, 15. Number of callbacks received, 3. Number of service requests started. Number of service requests closed or replaced due to being set up incorrectly, 5.
Wait. Go back a second, because I didn't hear. I know everybody else will hear it, but just repeat it again. How many was started?
Oh, you loser. Next topic. No, I'm kidding. Number of service requests started was 9.
How? And 5 of those were completed?
Closed or closed or replaced due to being set up incorrectly.
God damn.
And right. The ones that were actually completed due to resolved issues, 2.
So what happened to the other 2?
They're probably still open. Most number of times I was asked my name and phone number during a single call, 11.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Number of times I was told Microsoft will contact you when the investigation is complete, 40.
That'll happen too.
Number of times I ended up on the Spanish language hold line, 8.
Oh, that's just messed up.
Total spent on Xbox 360 related products, $3,120.78.
What?
Amount of Xbox Live content not working properly, 25,600 points worth, which is approximately $319.87.
God damn.
Total time spent on the phone with 1-800-MY-XBOX, 1 day, 2 hours and 55 minutes. Total time spent trying various remedies, 1 day, 9 hours, 55 minutes. Total time trying to resolve issues with my Xbox 360s, 2 days, 2 hours, 50 minutes. And he goes on to say, I do not believe Microsoft owes me anything for being a great customer or being excited about their products. I believe Microsoft owes me because I paid for products and content that does not work, and that the warranty has not been honored. If I walked out of a store with a television that stopped working 2 months later, I would take it back and exchange it. But in the digital world of digital rights management, this is no longer possible.
Oh, so wait, he's been it having sounds issues like, with downloadable yeah, content?
It sounds like a lot of these issues have to do with downloadable content, though that's not all.
Right.
So he's boned!
That's crazy, man.
Microsoft does. You can't do this on Sony. Oh, wait, now you can. So, with that, we bring a close to the noose, unless you want to talk about some customer service dummo.
Nah, I'm not in the mood.
So, we will close that and move on to the bag of brown, smelly, watery shit. Shit, shit, shit. Shit, 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 shit. Shit! Okay, what is your shit of bag?
My shit of bag is a little-known game for PlayStation.
Uh-oh.
Called Evil Zone.
Uh-oh.
Evil Zone is... It's a fighting game. A three-dimensional fighting game with several characters.
Sounds stupid already.
Some people actually like this game, like my best friend and his brothers. But that's okay. That's how I learned about the game. I still think it's a piece of shit.
Bulges on your face! Bulges on your face! Go ahead.
Think about a game. It's translated from Japanese.
Japan.
So it's got really shitty voice acting.
Oh. Get power up.
Well, it's not like Japanese voice acting English. It's English people dubbing over Japanese. Like, there's this one character.
Right, get power up!
There's one character named Dan Ziver. And he's like a kind of like a mock rider, not mock rider, Kamen rider, mass rider. All right, so he's like mass rider, like he's one of those superheroes in a suit and stuff like that. He's got a sword and everything called Danzai Burst, and he had, when you play his campaign in story mode, it's like a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like next episode on Dan Ziver and blah blah blah.
Dan Ziver, is that like MacGyver?
Kind of, I guess. And that's okay. Like, it was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very campy story and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But the fighting in the game was really shitty. It was like, think Battle Arena Toshinden.
Oh!
In the Tekken 3 age. It's like, you know, you're kind of taking a step back with some really crappy moves and moves that, like, really, like, just tear your energy bar apart. And then there was, the voice acting through the game was just, like, really bad. Like, the last boss was, like, some woman. And every time
I'm
she
going
hit you,
to crush you now.
No, no. Every time she hit you with, some, like, one of her moves, her voice acting sample was, "What are you looking at? What are you looking at? What are you looking at?" Yeah.
What are you looking at? What are you looking at?
No one was like, "What are you looking at? What are you looking at?"
That's bow-tarded.
Yeah, I think I actually still have that game in my my CD thing because Rob left it in there.
Okay.
But that game was really, really shitty, and it wasn't even worth it for me to like try and learn how to play the game. I was able to like you know get to the last boss without knowing how to play.
Without knowing how to play.
But yeah, if you ever see a game called Evil Zone, don't
avoid it.
Yeah, don't even
not
rent
don't
it.
Avoid it, but avoid it.
Yeah, avoid it. Don't even, like, look at it. Turn
don't
it away.
Don't look at it!
What's your bag of doo-doo?
You'll turn into stone if you look at it. Ghostbusters
butter.
For Commodore 64.
Ugh.
Anybody who's played the game... Yeah, anybody who's played the game, just imagine a worse version. On the NES. Anybody who hasn't played Ghostbusters, I'll just tell you this much. The biggest beef I had with that game is the control. Because... When you run into ghosts, basically the idea is to capture the ghost with two Ghostbusters and then throw out the trap. Shut up! If you're gonna sing louder.
Music.
So
no,
you gotta
I
sing louder.
Sing lower because you're talking. I don't want to overpower your talking.
Oh, I can edit you out, but that's okay. Okay, so keep singing.
No, I want to be in the background.
It's fine. Sing in the background.
All right.
And so So you got two Ghostbusters, one on the left and one on the right, and there's a ghost just sitting in the middle, and they got their freaking plasma beams like streaming out into the sky, and you have to move the two Ghostbusters, and they're at an angle, so you have to move it so that those beams both hit the ghost. So you move the guy on the left into the right, and the guy on the right into the left, so that they become closer and closer and closer, and then they trap the ghost, and you open the trap. Fucking problem is that when you press right on the joystick, it only moves the left guy to the right. If you press left on the joystick, it only moves the guy on the right to the left. You can't then say, "I moved this guy too far in. Let me move him out." Because if you press right to move the left guy, to move the right guy out, you're going to move the left guy in, and then you'll cross streams and game over. Okay, you can stop singing. That game sucks.
Okay. And that was the only song that played throughout the entire game. Yeah. Very annoying after the first 10 times.
And Edu Buccaneer has a bag of shit entry, but it's way, way long. I didn't know you were sending me a whole review, Edu. Let's see. Okay. It's for Reservoir Dogs on the Xbox.
Oh, no.
Let me scan it to see if there's any notable things that I can drag out of here. There's something shitty in my Commodore. What the fuck is it?
Ghostbusters!
Edu, I'm sorry to say that this is very long and I'm trying to find something like immediately shitty about it, but I will ask you this. Do I have permission to print this review on Trigames? And then everyone can see what a bag of shit that Reservoir Dogs for the Xbox is, and I'll print it out and everybody can read it.
Yeah.
How's that? You get double the pleasure. You get a bag of shit and you get a published review. There you go! Move on to the mailbag! Whoa, no, sorry.
Oh,
sorry,
topic.
We actually have a quick topic today. And we'll move on to that after this! We're we're at the main topic. We're going to make this a really short one. Ethan and Tony, as you know, aren't with us, and we were going to do a topic on the Halo lines, but they're not. So we're going to smash this one out maybe 6 or 7 minutes. We're going to talk a little bit about Rock Band versus Guitar Hero, and not which one we're buying, because we're going to be buying both.
That's right.
But just the games themselves and what the rift between those two is and how they're different for the market and why one may be desirable over the other and all that stuff. And it slightly has to do with, I don't know if you guys remember, but Zaps, a.k.a. Ben Lee, published an article about Rock Band and why he's not really anticipating it on trygames.net. It's an editorial. You can read it. You can go to the site and click, and it's there.
Take this right now,
and it's
King Dakar.
Words, King Dakar, overrated 30 seconds for 3 hours of line. Yes, if you go to Great Adventure and you don't have a Flash Pass, do not go on the King Dakar. It takes 2 seconds.
Yeah, and 3.5 hour wait.
Yeah. But Rock Band, so here's what I've been hearing that's kind of disturbing, a little bit disturbing, is that like when you play the Rock Band guitar parts, it's in no way, shape, or form as challenging as Guitar Hero 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little bit disturbing to me because, like, here's my thing. If you want someone to play on Rock Band, but like have it be a more acceptable game, a more family-friendly, more everybody game, there are difficulty modes that you can choose. And if they need to, they can add like a "you're fucking crazy" mode.
Exactly.
So I don't. Well, the other thing though is that the song selection. I don't know if you remember any of the songs in there. I don't at the moment, but some of the songs
in Rock Band.
Yeah, they might not. It may simply just be because they're not conducive to wild solos that are, you know, incredibly difficult.
That's what my mentality on it is. Okay. I think that, and I think something else, and I want you to finish before I get to what I think about.
Rock Band is for casual guitar players, and Guitar Hero 3 is for hardcore guitar players?
Maybe.
Okay, finish it.
Oh, I want you to finish first.
Oh, no, I was waiting for your opinion on it.
Oh, my opinion on it is that, Rock Band is a game that's designed to be a more of a group experience as opposed to a solo experience, where Guitar Hero is a solo experience. It's about being the guitarist and about doing wild solos and about doing crazy licks and crazy riffs and then you know, that really difficult stuff. When it gets time to be really difficult, that's where it shines. The thing is about Rock Band is that you're going to have so many facets that you have to balance, that having wild guitar and expecting it to be like Guitar Hero is really something that, you know, I think is going to disappoint people if they're going to play Rock Band thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to be playing like crazy ass solos. There are songs that do have crazy ass solos though. And I think that you're going to get your time to shine when you do play Rock Band as a guitarist, but it's not going to be as intense or extreme as Guitar Hero 3 probably will be. You know, you're not going to get through the fire and flames on Rock Band.
Right.
But you're going to get things that are more songs, more structured, verse, chorus, verse, bridge, chorus
solo
type of thing, solo, where, like, for example, and the only thing I can really think of right now is Enter Sandman versus 1.
Right. That's I think you. I already had this.
Yeah, I mentioned this before, and this is like the perfect example of the two markets that they're catering for. One is of a big hit from Metallica, but it's a hardcore hit. If you ask people like who got into Metallica 91 and later, they got into Metallica because of Enter Sandman.
Uh huh.
And that was the mainstream audience that they picked up when they came out with that album. And the first track off of the album was Enter Sandman. That was their first super, super huge hit. And that album, the Black Album that Enter Sandman opened on, is like one of their biggest selling albums because that's when it hit mainstream. Mm. But One was on the album before that, and Justice for All, which was like their most complex album ever. And it sold very well, not as well as the Black Album, but it was the pinnacle of Metallica's hardcore thrash metal output. So now you think about it and you put it into the video game setting. Rock Band has Enter Sandman, which has a verse, a chorus, well, an intro, a verse, a chorus, another verse, a chorus, a solo, and then a chorus, or a bridge, and then a chorus at the end. So there's a lot of singing.
Right.
There's a lot of bass, even though the bass is just root stuff, and the bass is going to mirror the guitar. But then there are points where they kind of separate to make them more unique, and the drumming is very basic and it's very fluid and makes you feel like you're a part of the song. Then you get to the solo, and you get the guitars will get to wild out. And then there'll be a point where everybody kind of chills out, and the singer gets his time to shine. And that's where all that balance is coming into play. Rock Band is all about getting everybody to have a great time and work together, have a great time, have fun at the same time. One is a whole shitload of guitars. It's a long intro with a solo, then a verse, then a chorus, sort of. Then a rhythm figure, which is all guitars, then another verse, and then a chorus, which is kind of short, and then the same rhythm figure, but a solo on top of that, then the chorus one more time, extended, and then it goes into a musical phrase, like a big instrumental phrase,
right.
And then it goes into the juxtaposition where it cuts from the slow part to the fast part, and then there's the final, I don't know what to call it, just the final verse, I guess you could say. And then it just goes fucking crazy guitars for the next, 3 minutes. And so now you're seeing, this song would be best for Guitar Hero 3 because...
There's not that much singing.
There's not really that much bass. The drums go crazy.
Right.
But the guitars are where it really shines because you get to do multiple facets. You get to do chords. You get to do single note arpeggio type of things. Then you get to do a classical solo. You get to do another classical solo, and then you get to do a super thrash metal song, then you get to do harmonies, and I bet you that they have, for co-op on that, 2 guitars.
Right,
they have to, because there are so many parts of that song, so many guitars layered on top of each other, that you could fit a 2-player game and have an awesome, both players have a wonderful experience, 2 guitars on that one song. But for Rock Band, there's only really, there's 2 guitars, but you could do that entire song with 1 guitar, 1 bass, drums, and a singer. So call out for that. It's going to be really fun when you think about somebody's going to be like, exit
light! But it's not as balanced as the other song, right?
Not as balanced as 1?
Yeah. No. I thought you were talking about 1 right now.
Oh, no. I was talking about Enter Sandman. Enter Sandman is much more balanced in terms of multiplayer, 4-player co-op. Imagine if they had 1 in Rock Band, and then you'd stand there for like say I'm the singer and you're the guitarist.
You'd stand there, get a cup of coffee and wait.
Yeah, it'd be like Dragon Force all over again. And imagine if they had Dragon Force in Rock Band.
Oh, boy.
It would be hard to sing.
Yeah.
But still, it's the 2 markets, and I think that people have to remember that, what these games are supposed to offer.
I think I was on the forum for Zap's Guitar Hero League on GameSpot. Alex Navarro actually pointed out that his feeling was that the guitar parts were reminiscent more of Guitar Hero 1 in difficulty. And, if that's true, that's, I'm cool with that personally.
Yeah, I'm cool with that too.
Because I still have fun with Guitar Hero 1. I still haven't even 5-starred Cowboys from Hell, but I'm very close. I don't know how I haven't done it yet, but I haven't.
I remember when that used to be the hardest song ever.
Yeah. And there's some difficult shit out there, on there. It's nowhere near Freebird, but it's difficult. It's not Jordan, but it's difficult. And, some of them are still, not necessarily that difficult, but very fun to play. So that's the only thing I was worried about was having boring riffs and just because it's an all together game and everyone's playing in unison and
yeah,
it's just
and I think that there's going to be some
blah,
of that though. There's probably going to be a good share of that because most of these songs are going to be guitars backing up singers, guitars doing overlays with the bass and the drums. It's but the guitars are gonna have their time to shine. I think.
Like if every song was Surrender, I think I'd throw up.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna be
blah blah blah. You know what I mean? And then I just think about it because of the downloadable content. What if they offered some bands in which every part is challenging, and that would be great for me. Let's say they offered Avenged Sevenfold.
Mm-hmm. Which, every part would definitely be challenging.
Every part is challenging. The singer has it hard. From Beast in the Harlot that both the bass and the guitar lead are fun to play. Even the bass is fun to play in that song. The drums are fucking going wild.
Yeah, so, I mean, don't know how they're going to, like, if, you know, with the whole double pedal issue.
Oh, that's what
that
he uses.
People talk about. You know, most of these, like, alternative or, like, hardcore bands, they use equipment that's not available in Rock Band,
which is kind of rough. Maybe they'll just use a single pedal for two hits. Like you know how in the Guitar Hero 1, when you play Ace of Spades, like, the solo at the end is totally neutered.
Like, yeah, it is.
Like, instead of going, which is what it sounds like, what you play on the actual guitar is just like, note.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll do that.
Maybe. So,
or maybe they'll offer a second pedal as a peripheral. But yeah, I mean, I guess the bottom line is, if you are a competitive player who wants to show off, I don't think Rock Band is going to be for you.
Right.
I mean, you really have to be in the mindset of, this is not just not necessarily a party game, because, like, that's what it is, but you don't have to want it to be a party. You don't have to want a party game to enjoy it. You just have to be aware that this is something that you are playing with a friend. It's like saying, like, if Halo 3, for example, didn't have any multiplayer online competitively, but it offered you co-op.
Right.
And, like, you want to have that feeling of camaraderie rather than, like, yo, I'm going to blow the fuck out of your brains.
But I think they do have, like, a versus mode.
They have drum-off. Right? They do have a drum-off mode.
But they don't have, like,
They might have all of that, too, but when you pit, like, what I'm saying is, when you put the skill level required to play an expert face-off in Guitar Hero versus what could be simple note charts in Rock Band, it's not as competitive and it's not as fun.
That is true. Especially now, you know, like, the Guitar Hero 3 is moving further into competitiveness with battle mode.
Yeah, which is weird.
Which I'm sure that, like, once people learn the songs, it's probably going to be something that's well played, depending.
Right.
You know, we just have to understand how it works.
Right. And the other thing is, a lot of people are... this is not something that I've experienced, but has been said by other people on other podcasts, that Rock Band is kind of overshadowing Guitar Hero 3, and that, Guitar Hero 3, they feel that people are kind of shitting on the Guitar Hero 3. And in actuality, and I think I've said this before, I'm not sure on this podcast, but it's like, if you look at the brand name and the brand recognition, Rock Band's going to get all the hype, but the price is prohibitive. And when you get down to it, Rock Band is going, Guitar Hero is going to be on every single platform. Rock Band, you need a 364.
Yeah,
so even
PS3.
So it's kind of a or a PS3, and it's kind of like a juxtaposition where even if you're the casual player who would rather play Rock Band, you need to spend more money on more hardcore stuff than a casual player will.
That's true. Until I come out with that 40 gig PS3.
Right.
Yeah. Even then, that's hardcore because it's gonna be $399 probably.
Yeah. And then when you talk about Guitar Hero, where the expert mode is even harder than what anybody would even want to experience if they're not like a hardcore Guitar Hero player, that's on every single platform.
Yep, if you still have that PS2 that you've been rocking Guitar Hero 2 on, you could probably get the Guitar Hero 3 single without the bundle, $50, boom.
Yeah, and the other thing is that, I mean, you still have the lower difficulties for people who don't want to thrash out.
Yep, people love playing on medium, I'll tell you that. And they love fucking up on it.
Oh, God.
They're like, oh, man, I can't hit this. Bonk, bonk, boom, bonk, fail.
Dunk, dunk, dunk.
You know that I swear, like, every time somebody fails on easy, a kitten dies or something.
A kitten dies.
Yeah,
that's a lot of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Shall we wrap this one up and move on to the bag of mails?
Yeah, let's go to the mailbag.
Bag of hairy mails. First question from, actually it's not a question, this is from Alabella, one of our contributors, Anthony, who has just put up Eternal Sonata review. So guys, check that out. Eternal Sonata for Xbox 360. Alabella has reviewed it 4 out of 5 boxes. Okay. I have an Xbox game for Tony and Al to check out for the new 360s, and I think this doesn't apply to you, Al, because you actually already have it. But Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic is one of my favorite games. It's got a nice mix of real-time and turn-based gameplay. The light versus dark aspect is really fun. There's an excellent story. You have the ability to choose what you say, which is very, very similar to PC RPGs, if I may say so. Like, a lot of console RPGs are just kind of like dialogue, but this you choose what to say. You don't have to like Star Wars to enjoy the game, but if you do, it's an added plus. It's probably $20 now. Actually, I got it for $5 on Cheap Ass Gamer.
Yeah, you got to find
like
it for
3 years
really
ago.
I think it's for $10 on like in stores.
Yeah, but yeah, for Tony, this would be a good game. It'd be actually interesting for him because he's a JRPG fan, not a Western RPG fan. So it'd be a nice eye opener kind of game for him to try to experience this. But Al, you already have it, correct?
I have it for PC, okay, and I haven't really finished it. It's hard for me to get to play on the PC because of key bindings and just not really playing PC games very often.
You're just a casual console player. You can't play games for... Not kidding. / PC snobbery.
Yeah, but I'd like to get Knights 2 for 360.
Right.
Well, for Xbox.
Here's a question from McDove. Hey, persons, I'm not sure whether this may be a topic or a straight one-line answer, but do you think that IPs are becoming more valuable than having first-party developers? A couple of years ago, I would have stated that the latter would have been more important, meaning first-party developers, in securing the future for the success of a console and therefore its company. But now it seems to me that companies like Microsoft are happy enough just to own the IP and hoard out to different companies than having a first-party portfolio. This could also be said about EA's purchase of BioWare Pandemic. No doubt the main motivation behind such a costly purchase was not only to secure a very talented studio, but to secure some of the very famous IPs the studio is really well known for. What is your opinion? That's actually a really good question.
Yeah, and that's a good topic, too.
Yeah, we should expand this into a topic, but I can offer a one-line answer in that.
Maybe.
And it's not definitive because you have to have the right developer behind the right IP. You saw what happened to Tomb Raider.
I was going to say you saw what happened to Sonic, but it's the same developer.
Yeah. Same developer, same publisher and everything. But Tomb Raider, the Tomb Raider IP had been watered down ever since its original... And this is ironic here. The original developers buried it into the ground, and it took a new developer to build it back up. So if you have, let's say, Crash Bandicoot, okay? Crash Bandicoot was made by Naughty Dog, and for the original PlayStation, and I believe it was exclusive to the PlayStation because, you know, Naughty Dog was, you know, their developer for a while, and I think they still are. I don't think they belong to them, but they are, like, they act as a second party, although they probably aren't. I don't know. I don't know what their deal is, but Crash Bandicoot, the first game was supposedly, and I never played a Crash game, but supposedly the first game was good, second game was good, third game was all right, and then they switched developers. And it kind of went into the shitter. Now, the developer, I can't remember who it was, but Vivendi took up the publishing rights and kind of ran it into the ground when they started putting the game multi-platform. And if the game had remained on the PlayStation, and if Sony had still had exclusivity over that IP, with the wrong developer, they can run it into the ground. So it really depends, actually, because a good point to this question that I haven't considered is that I don't know what the sales like for Crash, the later shitty ones. And I wouldn't be surprised if they were actually high sales because of the IP.
Right.
So maybe my answer shifts to, yes, you're right, maybe IPs are more important. I really do think, though, it depends on several factors of how that IP is built up and how it's developed. If you have the wrong developer behind it and people think it's shit, and it really does spread wide that this game is shit, and it used to be good, but now it's shit, then, you know. Because do you know how well the Tomb Raider game sold as the progress went along and as it became worse and worse? I'll take that as a no.
No, I can't really think of anything right now.
Your thoughts on this question before we move on?
I think that IPs are becoming strongly more important, but it is very important to have a good team behind it to make a good game. Because, like for example, Pokemon is one of the most powerful IPs out there.
Yeah,
and they have different developers doing different things. Like you've got Intelligent doing the PC RPG, oh, not PC, the Game Boy RPG. You have Genius Sonority doing the GameCube conversions. I think Genius Sonority was also doing Stadium. And you see the difference between the standard RPG on the Game Boy and the stuff that Genius Sonority does is, like, Genius Sonority really does stuff to a company, but then they decided to make, like, a full-fledged game with Colosseum and Gale of Darkness. But now, people, I guess it's just due to taste, people want a full-fledged, I want to run around and catch Pokemon RPG. But I still think, even regardless of the fact that Colosseum and XD are not like that, those are still pretty good games. But imagine if they were, like, just completely shitty.
Yeah.
And that has a potential of destroying the Pokemon IP. So, you know, it's not like they could just put out a pile of shit and name it Pokemon and it's going to sell, because IP is that much more important than first-party developers.
Right.
That's why it's like, yeah, IPs are very important, because you could theoretically sell a piece of shit topped with, like, vanilla icing and call it Pokemon, but it still has to have the right developers behind it.
Right.
Zelda's another example. You know, they could have farmed out Oracle of Ages and Seasons and Minish Cap to some group that would have completely destroyed it. But they did the right thing.
Flip CDI! Like,
oh, yeah. You know, Flip CDI. They farmed it out to whoever did that, and it turned out to be the turdiest turd of the turds.
Read Mozart's review on that.
Let's move on.
Yeah, move on. There's a question from Drac, one of our contributors, who I don't know if I've mentioned this, but he has gone on to professionally write in the industry for Game Revolution. So we have a mole. Chenlong Bo was recently picked up by Gamer 2.0 to write reviews for them. So congrats to both of them. He's going to get some free games to review, which is cool. So Drac's question is an intentionally broad and loaded question, and probably a difficult question for anyone to answer. Where does femininity belong in video game culture? Does it have a place in this dominantly male-oriented venue, aside from Barbie Horse Adventures and Rumble Roses? If a game had a real female as its main character, what would it possibly look like, and does it even have a chance of being popular? I've seen many games with real females as their main characters. Not many, but enough to prove to me that a good game can be made out of this. I mean, there's no reason why it can't. Does it have a chance of being popular? Probably not, unfortunately, because of the culture. And it's not necessarily anyone's fault. It's just that's the unfortunate situation. The Longest Journey for PC is an adventure game by Funcom and Ragnar Turnquist Studio, I think. And it stars a female character named April Ryan. She's a normal girl. Well, she's normal in the sense that she doesn't have massive tits and a huge ass and is wearing nothing. She's a normal student. She's a girl. Game didn't do very well, but it was an excellent, excellent game. It was an excellent adventure game. It's follow what was Dreamfall, which many of you probably have heard of instead of the first one, on the Xbox and PC. I don't think that did well either. But I heard that was a good game as well. Siberia, which is also an adventure game for PC and Xbox, was supposedly very good. I have played the first maybe 15 minutes of it. I haven't really gotten into it, but I don't think that did well either. But
Beyond Good and Evil.
Beyond Good and Evil didn't do very well. But I also just think that that was a situation where Prince of Persia didn't sell that incredibly either. And I think it was just their holiday lineup was kind of robust, and everyone else's holiday lineup was also robust.
It wasn't marketed well enough.
Yeah, so they got lost in the shuffle. And it was just, that's a normal female character. That's what a normal female character I would think would look like in that game. Go ahead.
Also, there's also Super Princess Peach.
Yeah, but that's kind of, hams it up.
Yeah.
I don't think that's
really
realistic.
Throws the female
it really hams it up. And yes, Roots. It does have a place. It has a place for those girls who want that game. I mean, they're there, and there's nothing wrong with it. What else other thing? Oh, yeah, Alex from Half-Life 2. And the expansions, the episodes, is an incredible female character. I mean, she's realistic. She, you know, the way that she's portrayed by the voice acting and everything is excellent. Too bad you can't play her, and she's not the main character. But I think if she was a main character in a Half-Life game, it would be popular enough. Mm-hmm. You're right. It is a loaded question. do you have any thoughts before we move on to our last question before we have to go to work?
Let's go.
Let's go. Oh yeah. Leiden, we did get your question, but since we're not doing the topic this week, we'll save it for next week. But we did get it. Charlie! So, one question from Richard Ball, who is a very good sport about us calling him Dick Ball. he signs his letter, Richard Dick Ball.
Dick Ball.
Let's see. So, hello. First off, a big thanks for answering my question way back in episode 60, if you can't remember back that far. Congrats to Alan Tony for getting a 360. I would definitely recommend Crackdown. Just like Mercenary, stuff blows up good. And you can play 2 or co-op over live. Jet Set Radio Future for the original Xbox. My gamer tag is, and I'm not going to expose your gamer tag on the air so people can't spam you, but I will provide it to the team.
Mm-hmm.
On to my question. Orange Box came out last week for PC and 360. I was kind of looking forward to this, but was angry when I learned a few weeks back the PS3 version was getting delayed till mid-November on account that it was the version that I wanted. Interesting. I didn't know that. My question to the entire Tri-Hands crew is that with year one of PS3 coming to a close, do you see developers finally releasing PS3 games on the same day as 360 and PC? Or maybe Valve's Gabe Newell comment about developing for PS3 is a waste of time is just that, a waste of time. God, we got a lot of good topical questions. I would think that developers would have just not tapped the potential of PS3, but I would like to hear comments on this. Yes, my real name is Richard Ball, so you can imagine I got into a lot of fights growing, but now I'm just meh. You can call me Dick if you want. I don't mind. I'm not going to call you Dick. We're just joking around.
Yeah.
I think that as sales start ramping up and as people start getting more familiar with the development environment, there will not be a problem with games coming out day and date. That's my short take on it. What about you?
I think that as long as people start focusing, as long as people keep focusing on the Xbox 360 and not putting the developmental resources into the PS3 early, there's going to be disparity.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to come out with a 360 and PC game because they're built on the same or similar architecture.
Right.
PS3 is like, you know, going to freaking Europe and trying to drive on the other side of the street.
Right.
You know, it's difficult because you're not used to it and it's still kind of new, whereas your 360's been out for, going on 2 years now? And it's also built on architecture that's been out for plenty of years. You know, it's not like you can port over DirectX code and make it work on the PS3, which
right.
has no knowledge of DirectX at all.
Different beast.
Yeah, completely different beast, completely different harlot. And,
Vince.
I think that if you had, like, dedicated teams,
yeah.
like a PS3 team and a 360 PC team, you can get games to come out at the same time because the assets would be available.
Yeah.
And all you'd have to do is worry about making those engines and having the engines available at the same time.
On the PS3, yeah.
Right, and then just put the assets toward it. I think that would be easier to do than having a port job.
Right. I think bottom line is once PS3 picks up in sales, which it will... Mm-hmm. Developers
people will be more motivated to do it, you mean?
Yeah, people will start using the PS3 as a lead SKU to make it perfect and port it down, and you'll get similar release schedules. Take Burnout Paradise, for instance. That's a PS3 lead SKU.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that, you know, they could always just... It's also just harder to, you know, port across because the PS2 was technically... according to many people, it was technically weaker than the Xbox. It was easier to port up.
Right.
PS3 is supposedly more powerful than the 360, so it's harder to port down. It takes a little more time, so they start in the 360 and port up. You know, mm-hmm. They keep on doing that. So, but yeah, once it gets more popularity, I think it'll be fine. And get the PC version. Mouses are good. Mice are good.
Some people, you know, they like...
Ah, blah!
Español.
Blah, blah, blah! Anyway, I think that about wraps it up because Al's got to go back to work. Real quickly, Marshy Man has not put up the podcast that he's recorded, but he did record it, I think, as per his last week's email.
Mm-hmm.
Riven is back. His internet's connected, so he's going to be recording episode 26. I think he already did.
Yes.
He'll be posting it soon.
GameSpot.com/users/MarshyMan50 and Gameslaves.net are the URLs. Sorry about that.
And check out Ann LaBella's Eternal Sonata reviews on the site. That's for the Xbox 360. Also up is... that's it. It's just that from Ann LaBella.
Thanks for the recommendations, guys.
Yeah, keep them coming. Keep them coming.
I'll think about Crackdown.
More
since
Xbox,
it is cheap.
Yeah, more Xbox and Xbox 360 recommendations. And remember, Al only has an Xbox 360, and so does Tony. No Xbox games that are not compatible. Just compatible ones.
Right.
And that's it for Tony, Ethan, Al.
I have be yo host. I win a bitch, fucker, Chupon, Sir Austin. Yes.
Right.
Nah.
You can drink your own urine on the 13th of October.
What a world.
What a world.
What a world.
Did you know?
Did you know?
13 days have come and gone.
Say it.
Since the 1st of October.
Bitches.
Bitches.
Bad boy.
Bad boy for life. Can't stop.
That's right.
Won't stop.
Did you know that 13 days come and gone, bitches? Since we had the 1st of October.
We invented the October.
That's right.
All right, go to work.
Taking hits from the 80s and then spending 13 days on them.
13 days.
I mean, God. I hate
it. Go to work. Later.
All right, peace.
There's something shitty in my Commodore. What the fuck is it?
Ghostbuster!